Last week on Easter, we proclaimed a risen Christ, and I rejoiced in the fact that Jesus was not defeated by death, but instead, God raised him to eternal life with him in heaven. But so what? Seriously, so what? Why does that matter to me or to you or to anyone? I mean, good for Jesus, he rose from the dead. But what impact does it have in your life today? John, the author of today's gospel, tells us why he's writing about the resurrection, why he writes anything at all about Jesus. John says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that through believing, you may have life in his name. You may have life in his name." I think that's the key for us today. John wants us to have Jesus' life within us. At one point, he quotes Jesus as saying, "I came that they," he's referring to all of us, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It's one of my favorite quotes in the Bible. But I think Jesus's, and by extension John's, idea of life, of abundant life, is probably different than ours has been, at least up until very recently. You know, over the past few years, we've taken a couple of surveys of our parishioners. And one of the things we found in those surveys is that in general, people were very satisfied with their lives. The survey didn't go into super amounts of detail around this, but presumably people felt satisfied with their work and their home life. A satisfying job, or at least one that paid the bills, kids in good schools, mortgage payments that were manageable, a spouse who liked their job and seemed to put up with you. That doesn't mean that no one had struggles, but hopefully you were satisfied with your life. It may have been hectic at times, but you felt that you'd been able to accomplish a lot of your goals. You felt self-sufficient, and you didn't need much from anyone else. And you certainly didn't want anybody else telling you what to do or how to live. Maybe you thought, "I am living life to the full. I have that abundant life." That was 6 weeks ago. Everything has changed for us now. Now you realize how uncertain all of it is. This pandemic has turned everything on its head. People who felt secure in their jobs and businesses may be hurting and realizing that was more or less a certainty has now become very fragile. People who really and truly love their kids now spend half the day trying their darndest not to throttle them. If you still have a job, you're working from home, trying to manage a Zoom meeting with a five-year-old running around in the background. You no longer monitor screen time for your kids. If it keeps them out of your hair long enough for you to make lunch for them, so be it. Speaking of hair, you're kind of sick of looking at that ridiculous beard your husband's been trying to grow. And you can't wait for the hairdressers to reopen because your roots are really starting to show at this point. And you're afraid to go to the grocery store. And when you do, you're getting tired of them only having a 50-pound bag of flour and no asparagus at all. And you're wondering, why do I even crave asparagus right now? You haven't gone shopping in ages for anything other than Staples. And heck, well, you'd be willing to go shopping at Staples if it meant getting out of the house. And if you're a frontline worker or working in a grocery store, yeah, you're able to get out of the house, but you're overworked, you're overtired, and you come home worrying about transmitting COVID to your loved ones, all for a lousy buck or two more an hour than before. This is not life in abundance. All your hard work and professional accomplishments doesn't mean that you aren't in danger of losing your job or your business. You aren't as self-sufficient as you thought. And now you want someone in authority to tell you when you can go out again. This isn't the life you signed up for. So what is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about? Is it different from what you're living now? What is the life in Jesus' name that John is referring to? And what does it have to do with the resurrection? Well, the first thing to realize is that neither Jesus nor John are referring to some heavenly reward for a life well lived here on earth. They're not saying, hey, you know, just be a good person, get through this life, and you'll have eternal life in heaven. The fact is, you cannot earn heaven. No one can. Not even the greatest saint earned heaven. Jesus earned it for us because we couldn't do it on our own. God sent his Son to atone for each and every one of our sins, yours and mine. And when he died and went to hell because he had taken on our sins. But the Father raised him from the dead, and in a few weeks we'll hear how Jesus ascended into heaven. This means that there is now a way into heaven by following Jesus. Jesus wants us not only to follow him into heaven at the end of our life here on earth, but he wants us to begin to live that life right now. Without Christ's resurrection, heaven is impossible. It's just a dream. With the resurrection, we can begin to live that life, that eternal life with him now. And what does it look like? In that first reading, it says John and the other members of the early church began to live that new life in Christ right away. In that first reading, it takes place just weeks after Jesus ascends into heaven, and there are just a few thousand believers, but it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. They focused on three things: learning about Jesus, connecting and caring for one another, and praying and worshiping God. That breaking of the bread, that refers to the Mass and the Eucharist, our highest form of worship. They focused on those things, and first of all, amazing things happened in their midst. But it also says that they grew in numbers, and they lived caring for one another. They started to live abundantly. They felt at peace, even during some very tumultuous times as they were being persecuted. They felt joy and fulfillment doing God's work and using their gifts and talents for others, not just for themselves. They felt intimately united with God and filled with his Spirit that gave them hope and strength and resiliency and purpose in the midst of the chaotic times that they lived in. Jesus' view of abundance is not about things of this world. Rather, it's about being filled and overflowing, even, with the Holy Spirit. It's about a prayer life that brings us intimately close to God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, regardless of how isolated we are. It's about finding purpose and meaning in caring for the well-being of others before we care for ourselves. Right now, we cannot participate physically in the breaking of the bread. We cannot receive the Eucharist, but we can still worship God. We can still pray. So right now, it's about offering him our praise and worship and nurturing Jesus' spiritual presence while we long for his real presence in the Eucharist. This abundant life is about learning about Jesus through scripture, good spiritual books. It's about inviting him into our home. If you're watching this, it's because you have, at the very least, invited me or St. Ignatius Parish into your home. And I'm grateful to be with you right now. But have you invited Jesus Christ in? And is it just for this hour? I'm going to invite you now, if you want, to begin to live life with Jesus, with the resurrected Jesus at the heart of your life. You've tried it the other way, and you now know how uncertain and fragile that type of life is. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we have another option. If you want to try it Jesus' way, I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I am so grateful that you died for me. Jesus, I am so grateful that you rose from the dead and opened the way to heaven. Jesus, I desire life in your name. Lord, in your mercy, give me an abundance of your Spirit. Give me your peace that comes from your intimate union with our Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, come into my home. Make my home a place of prayer, a place of worship, a place of gratitude and generosity, a place of care and concern for others. Make me an instrument of your peace and love. Amen. And I'd urge you to try and pray every day. What you may ask, what prayers am I going to ask you to do? Well, the Our Father, obviously, that's the prayer that Jesus gave us. It's the prayer that tells us, that unites us with Jesus as God's children. But I've been awfully partial to the prayer of St. Francis. Even though St. Francis didn't actually write this prayer, it was an extremely popular prayer during both wars, both world wars in the 20th century. It's a prayer that I think can serve us well today, that brings comfort and points us in a direction to love and serve God by loving and serving others. I'll ask Shauna to post it in the comments so you can cut and paste it from there. But I'll put it on the screens and I'll invite you just to pray that with me now. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.